Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in. Tech Guide. This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. Tech Guide. It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. Tech Guide. They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 139. This is the podcast that will keep you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading, and a special welcome to first-time listeners. We're glad you can join us. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, when is the right age to give your child a smartphone and how do you set the rules? How the NBN can make existing cables faster, and the saga of former Tech Guide guest Belle Gibson. Her cancer claims have been questioned, and we encore what she told us last year. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at the Uniden Guardian wireless security cameras and the accessories that are already appearing for the Apple Watch. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's get cracking. Well, it's the age-old question, isn't it? When is the right age to give your child a smartphone? And you know what? Not every parent is going to agree on this. We've all got varying opinions. We've all got different ideas. So what applies for me and my child might not be what you think is right for your child. Now, it's quite an emotional topic, but Telstra have come forward with some interesting research as well as an interesting new free service that'll help a parent protect their child with the smartphone, set some rules, and just make it a little bit easier to achieve that, to get their child using the smartphone in the right way. Well, first of all, let's have a look at some of the research that they've done. It's a very interesting study. Now, they've found that the average age that a child receives their first smartphone is age 12. Now, that was the age that I gave my children their first smartphones. That was the age they started high school. Now, to me, that represented a period where not only have they reached a certain age and a certain maturity, but they were also catching public transport and were a little bit more independent. So that was the main reason behind my choice of giving them the first smartphone when they started high school. And that Telstra research kind of reinforces that age that I suggested is 12 years of age. But the research also uncovered that some parents were giving children as young as 3 a smartphone as well. And as I said at the start of this segment, it is really up to the parent. There's no right or wrong answer here. So it is really up to the parent to set that, to make that decision, but also to set the rules. Now, speaking of the rules, Telstra have come up with this new service called Mobile Protect. Because you think about it, a parent is giving their child a device that can connect to the internet, connect to social media, access content, all these things that because they're using it on their own, wherever they are, they're unsupervised. So the age-old problem, before smartphones became a popular product, the whole push was for parents to check what their children are up to online on their computers. The computer had to be in a central part of the house, and there was all kinds of security software on there and Net Nanny and all these things to protect the child to make sure they don't look at content they're not supposed to. Well, guess what? That computer is now in their pocket. So having to not only teach your children the right and wrong things to do, but also to protect them from other things that they could find on the internet, whether it's uninitiated contact or content that really they shouldn't be looking at, that's also the challenge here as well. So Telstra, with this new Mobile Protect, which is a free service, by the way, for Telstra customers, of course, that allows parents to do things like setting time of day limits. blocking unwanted calls, limiting mobile web usage, and also the type of content they can access. Now, there are already a number of smartphones that have these parental controls built in. But this Telstra Mobile Protect takes it a step further and allows you to enforce that also on your child. Also has to be a Telstra customer as well, so they've got to have an eligible Telstra service. So that's step one, I think, in this whole process. But Telstra have also released, and I think this is a really good idea, they've released a downloadable contract called My First Mobile Agreement. Now, it's a contract that ticks all these different boxes that the child and the parent will sign. And what it does, it says things like, as a child, so there's a section for the child, and there's also a section for the parent. And it says, in the child section, it says, I will be aware of my screen time, and I will still go outside and get fresh air and exercise, and I'll be very responsible, and all these things that they promise to do to be responsible users of a smartphone. Now, on the parental side, there's also concessions where they're not going to be stalking them on social media, they're not going to be real nuisances, they're not going to be helicopter parents, they're going to offer them a level of trust and little things like that, which I think is a good idea. It's a good first step, a good way to sit down with your child, however old they are, whatever decision you've made, to have that discussion, to make that something that you talk about, because I think that's half the battle. Parents don't talk to their children about this, and that's one of the things, one of the reasons parents give a child a smartphone is for peace of mind. They want them to be contactable. They want to be able to get in touch with them. The other 38% said that they want to give their son or daughter more independence. So there's two things working here at the same time. It's a great idea to sit down and discuss it with your child. Of course, they're going to be happy they're going to receive a smartphone, but it has to be under certain conditions that as a parent, you have a responsibility to make sure they abide by that. Because look, the downside is that they're using their phones well into the night. They're losing sleep. They're not doing their homework. So there is a responsibility for the parent to show them the right and wrong way to use a device so that it doesn't affect. They've got to show them the right way so it doesn't affect other aspects of their life, including their schoolwork, including their relationship with the family and friends, and just being able to look up occasionally and see the world around them. The whole world isn't on that screen. Great new work by Telstra. If you want to read more about that story, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, whenever you mention these three letters, you get a red hot reception either for or against it. And those letters are NBN. Yes, the National Broadband Networking. It can be quite a polarizing subject for some people. There's some people that are way opposed to it. There's other people that can't wait for it. They think it's the best thing since sliced bread. But the NBN Co. Is moving along. Of course, the whole fiber to the node is now the standard that is being set by this current government. Fiber to the home was the previous plan under the Labor government, which would have been far more expensive. But anyway, either way, what we're seeing now is how new technology is enabling the older technology to work even better. And by that, I mean the old cables, and in particular, the hybrid fiber coaxial cables, which are already in existence. There's more than 3 million homes and businesses in Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide, the Gold Coast, that already have access to these Telstra and Optus HFC cable. That's hybrid fiber coaxial cables. Now, these already deliver high-speed internet. They also already deliver cable TV. They deliver telephone communication. So this is existing technology that the NBN is going to make even better. Now, they're going to do that with a world-first technology called DOCSIS 3.1. DOCSIS is short for Data Over Cable Service Interface Specifications. Quite a mouthful. What it basically means is this. We can make the cable faster. They can make the cable transfer data up to 10 gigabits per second. That's on existing technology. And at that speed, you can download a song in half a second. You can download a high-definition movie, which is more than 1 gigabyte, in 10 seconds. So here is a way for the NBN to roll out high-speed internet to existing homes, existing infrastructure, and make it better using this DOCSIS 3.1 technology. And they're going to be one of the first countries in the world to do so. So that's really exciting. It's not going to be till 2017, but what it means is that if your home is in front, is served by a cable, by a HFC cable, then DOCSIS 3.1 is going to make your internet speed way, way faster, which is great news. We all know about download speeds. What about upload speeds? A lot of people don't think about that. They only think about how much they can get, not how fast they can give, how fast they can upload material. For a lot of people, businesses, myself included, I'm dealing in large files and transferring them to different people and recording things online and trying to use that internet speed to my advantage. Upload speeds haven't been very favorable. In some cases, it's very, very slow compared to your download speed, of course, which is just a massive difference. Now, under this new system with DOCSIS 3.1 from the NBN, that upload speed is going to be 1 gigabit per second, which is 100 times faster than it is now. So that's great news. It might not be as high as 10 gigabits per second down, but 1 gigabit per second up, I think, is a breakthrough. That's going to be really, really well received. So the NBN coming soon to your area. Now, this technology, as I said, is a first that Australia will roll out with by 2017 or from 2017. So if you can see that thick cable outside your home, whether it's up on the pole, that's the Optus cables are usually up on the pole. Telstra cables are usually underground. They've been there for a while. They're what's delivering Foxtel to a lot of people. But in my case, I'm an Optus HFC. I'm a Optus cable customer. So I'm looking forward to seeing DOCSIS 3.1 really kick goal here and give me these download speeds I've long been waiting for. Are you in front of a HFC cable? You can check that out right now. Telstra and Optus websites will tell you if there's a cable outside your place. Telstra, for some reason, think that there's a cable outside my place. I get a call every couple of weeks asking if I want to go back to Telstra. And I remind them every single time that I'll only go back to Telstra if there's a cable out the front of my house. And what do they do each time? Let me check that for you, Mr. Fennec. And they go away and check. And I tell them, I can tell you right now, there's no cable out the front of my house. No Telstra cable out the front of my house because I've got a satellite dish on my roof to get Foxtel. So why would I do that if there was a Telstra cable there? Anyway, the cable internet is going to get even faster under the NBN with this exciting new technology. You can check out that story at techguide.com.au. Now, Bel Gibson is a person who's been in the news lately for not the best reasons, but she is a former guest of the Tech Guide podcast. You may recall back in early September last year that we featured Bel Gibson in the Tech Guide interview way back in episode 114. That was in early September. Now, she is the developer of the Whole Pantry app. And the reason why the Tech Guide podcast interviewed Bel Gibson was she was the only Australian developer who was given early access to develop their app or to adapt their app, their current iPhone app, for the Apple Watch. Now, you remember back in September, they had not only the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus launch, they also unveiled to the world Apple Watch. And for this occasion, Bel Gibson was flown over to the US by Apple and presented to the press, not only the Aussie press, of course, she was an Australian, so it was of interest to Australian journalists, including myself. She was presented to us as this courageous app developer who not only had been given the early access, which was a story in itself, but the kicker to the tale was here was a woman who had been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer who, through her work with the Whole Pantry app and eating nutritious foods, had apparently cured herself or was on the mend from this deadly disease. Now, it's only emerged in the last week that these claims have been brought into question. It's been quite a storm online in the news for Bel Gibson. She hasn't really, apart from a couple of remarks on social media, she hasn't really come forward with an explanation or shown any proof that she was even diagnosed with any type of cancer. There's also questions about her charitable work in the interview, which I'll replay in a moment. She does mention the fact that the whole part of Whole Pantry was giving back and these charitable works. I think she mentions building schools in Sierra Leone. You'll hear in a moment. Even that's been brought into question, and none of the money that was promised to these organisations, these charitable organisations, has actually seen the light of day. So we thought it was really interesting. We took another listen at our interview, and she really came up. She talks about her cancer and her journey, and you'll find that at the time, of course, we took her on face value, and I have to admit it was an emotional interview. She really opened up her heart and told us where she'd come from and what she was doing and her battles with her health. But in light of what's happened recently, you may hear this a different way. So here is our interview with Bel Gibson from 2014 when she attended the Apple Watch launch in September. I'm here with Bel Gibson, the only Australian app developer at the iPhone 6 and Apple Watch event. Bel, thanks for joining us. Tell us about your app, first of all.
The Whole Pantry is the world's first health, wellness and lifestyle app. We fuse together whole food recipe collection, health, wellness and lifestyle guides in an aim with a vision to restore balance and support you through living the whole life philosophy.
Okay. And you actually had early access to Apple Watch.
We
under
did.
Under strict NDA, no doubt. But so tell us then how your app, obviously iOS, works on the iPhone. How is that going to be enhanced, that experience enhanced with Apple Watch?
So our community have been reaching out saying we want a cook mode and we want a shopping mode. And we didn't really see a use case or reason to implement those. The Apple Watch creates that for us. So we've added a new function for our meal planning section. You go into the companion app on the Whole Pantry on iPhone or iPad and you select the recipes that you intend to make for that week or that dinner party that's coming up. Those recipes push over to the Apple Watch, and then you can go onto the Apple Watch, and through our onboarding screen you can select whether you want to shop for those recipes or whether you want to start cooking for them.
Okay, so rather than you having to dig into your pocket to get the recipes at the shopping centre, it's right there on your wrist.
It's right there on your wrist and really streamlines it and saves you a lot of time as well. There's none of that awkward fumbling around with reaching for that heavy jar on the top shelf and putting the iPhone away and then grabbing it back out. It's right there with a checklist, and it's all aggregated. What we're looking at doing is also bringing in location-based stuff, going, okay, you're right near a grocery store or Whole Foods. You still have three recipes that you need to shop for, or five ingredients that are still left on the shopping list. Then once you've shopped for all of those ingredients, you go back home and you're in your cook mode. The cook mode gives you a large display, step-by-step, instruction-based view. This is something people have been screaming out for, and we haven't supported it in iPad because we still thought that it wasn't a behaviour that people wanted to do.
Okay.
With the Apple Watch, we've also included timers. So you can be out running the dog and it will push you up a timer saying, get back home, your bread's ready in 5 minutes. So it's beautiful.
Yeah.
We really feel that this is going to revolutionise the way people use our app, but also encourage them to go the next step with living the whole life philosophy, because right now we're onboarding people and they're feeling committed but then just not quite there yet.
Right. So this will help get them the rest of the way, right?
This helps them get the rest of the way.
How difficult was it to develop it from the regular iOS app to Apple Watch? Was it an easy process?
I mean, we're really happy to ship what we've got, and that took us 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's really achievable. We're looking at hopefully seeing SDK open up a lot more between now and ship date. There are some things that aren't supported yet, like layering and transitions, like iOS 7 and iOS 8 are synonymous with.
But Apple surely can trust you with a secret. They gave it you access, what, how long ago? 3.5 weeks ago?
3.5 weeks ago, and we're the only team from Australia, so we're feeling very proud and honoured.
Talk us through that. You're right, it is an honour for you guys, and you're Australian to boot, so that's really proud of you as well. But that must have been a pretty big moment to get a call from Apple to say, look, we want you to come on board and try this out.
It was daunting, but if there was any company that we were going to jump for, it was going to be Apple, because they've supported us for so long. But with something so intimate, like, you know, changing your life or, you know, deciding to make better lifestyle choices, it's a really intimate process and behaviour. And we had inklings that it'd be for a wearable device, or even if it was just the iPhone 6, we knew that that was going to really change our direction and vision, and we had the support of the best engineers and designers in the world at our fingertips, and they've done a very great job.
Excellent. Now, tell us a bit of background. How did you come up with your app? What was the motivating factor?
5 years ago, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. We had tapped into a really beautiful network of people on our online social media communities, and I'm really honest about my journey with my health, and that opened up everyone else's honesty and everyone else's stories. And what we kept finding was those in our community were feeling very unsupported and uninspired as well. It's everything from, I have cancer, I feel like I need to be doing more, what can I be doing? Or, I have bad skin and that's a reflection of what's going on inside my body. And all of the self-taught stuff that I've been doing along this journey, I knew that I needed to share this on an accessible platform. And having that information right there on your iPhone, in your back pocket, all day, every day, was the best resource for us to put our message
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. So you've taken a different approach to treating yourself with your whole foods, good food.
Absolutely.
Improving your health.
Yes, but I also think that, you know, this is my chosen journey and it works really well for me, but we don't want to change the way people are living in a negative connotation. We just want to go, hey, maybe eat some more fruits and vegetables, move your body a little more, drink a little bit more water, and do it all with simple intentions. And we really achieve that with the whole pantry.
And how has it helped today?
It's funny that I'm here. All of my friends and family said, Belle, you can't go. 6 weeks ago, I was re-diagnosed with multiple cancers. But I'm feeling on top
right
of the
here.
World.
You're
yeah,
right here.
Exactly. And I get out of bed for what we do. We really believe that we're changing people's lives, and we have a giving back end of the company as well, with your app download transfers into community donation. So not only are you choosing to change or create changes within your life, you're also financing us to be able to support changes to those that otherwise don't have that access. So that's everything for funding medical support for children that are living with cancer, to building schools in Sierra Leone. We're really committed to the overall picture rather than just a segmented approach.
Well, congratulations on behalf of all us other Australians.
Thank you.
You're really making us proud. Congratulations. It's really quite an honour for you to be here. And best of luck with your own journey.
Thank
and
you.
The journey with the whole pantry.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for talking to Tech Guide.
It's been an honour.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Look at today's connected homes. There's a variety of network devices that use a wired connection for faster gaming, streaming entertainment, or for storage backup. But with connected TVs and media streamers, gaming consoles, and multiple computers, a switch is required to separate and prioritize the traffic. And what you can end up with, though, if you do have one of these switches, is a jumble of cords in your home theater or under your computer desk that resembles a rat's nest. Well, the new Netgear Click Switch is a gigabit Ethernet switch designed to improve cable management, reduce unsightly cords, and put those ports exactly where you want them. It's got a slim design, it's got an internal power supply, and a unique 1-2-3-4 click mounting system. So it can be mounted vertically or horizontally to enable optimal placement where other switches won't go. You can even attach the click switch to under your desk or on the leg of a table. So it really puts those switches exactly where you want them. You can check out the new industry-first click switches from Netgear at netgear.com.au/click switch.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Our first Tech Guide review is the Uniden security camera. Now, this is the Guardian app indoor cam, and there's also an outdoor cam. We're going to talk about both. Well, this has become a part of the market that's really becoming popular. Security is something that homeowners are becoming a lot more conscious of. They are wanting to monitor their homes, their businesses, their offices, their holiday homes, their pets, their kids, everything. And this is something that Uniden has responded to. Now, security cameras are nothing new, but what you know, they've been around for years. But the actual setup, management, monitoring can be quite costly. Well, what Uniden has done, of course, is come into this system where they're utilizing things like your Wi-Fi network and the fact that you own a smartphone or tablet to become the monitoring device. So they've got two models. They've got the Uniden Guardian AppCam 25 and the Uniden AppCam 26. Now, the 26 is the indoor cam and 25 is the outdoor cam. Now, they're slightly different. The basics are the same. You connect the camera to your network. You then download the app and then you're able to monitor whatever those cameras are seeing through the app. The cameras are, there's two styles. So the indoor camera, which is the Cam 26, is white. It's got a dome shape. It's got a swivel base, and it allows you to pan and tilt the camera through the app so you're not locked into just one view of the room. You can actually pan around up to 270 degrees to see what's in front of it. You can also tilt up and down up through 110 degrees as well. That indoor cam also has a walkie-talkie feature. So if you can actually communicate between the camera and the app. So say you're in front of the camera at home and someone's monitoring it from the app elsewhere, you can actually talk to them like a walkie-talkie conversation between the camera and the app and vice versa, which is really handy. Now, the other, which is the Cam 26, is the Cam 25, is the outdoor camera, which is sort of barrel-shaped. It can be mounted on, there's a mount that you can be screwed up in the corners or into the corner of your, you know, the eaves under your house or near the gutters. So it's also weatherproof, of course, being an outdoor camera. That's a no-brainer. It's got an IP66 rating, so it can even in a downpour, it can handle the rain. So hence the reason why it is the outdoor camera. It doesn't have the pan and tilt functionality, doesn't have the walkie-talkie functionality either. It is slightly cheaper too. But it does have the same basics where you can view live video through the app. You can also monitor. You can play recordings through the app. There's also a micro SD card in either camera to record, to store those recordings as well. So really easy way to view and monitor your premises, your home, your office, all these other places, your pets, your kids, whatever you want to keep an eye on. And one thing, though, there's you know, the wireless cameras sound really easy to set up, and they are. The Uniden cameras are really easy to set up, but they all require power. Of course, it's a no-brainer. They need power, but the power is supplied not with a battery, but with a power cable. You need to plug these in to a PowerPoint. Now, when you're positioning these cameras in hard-to-reach places, normally they're up high in a corner and somewhere where obviously they're hard to reach, but it can give you position where they can give you a good vantage point of the room. They're not always near a PowerPoint. PowerPoints are generally down low on the floor. So that's one thing you need to keep in mind if you are thinking of buying the Uniden cameras. The Cam 25 is the 26, sorry, is the indoor camera. That's $199.95. The Cam 26, 25 is the outdoor model, and that's $149.95. So something to keep in mind. They're terrific products, really easy to set up, really easy to use, but you might need an electrician to maybe put a PowerPoint up near the ceiling, up near where you want to position the camera. So check them out. Full review, you can find it at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
All right, next up, we're going to talk about some Apple Watch accessories that are already appearing. The Apple Watch is still 6 weeks away from launch, and yet here we are already seeing accessories for this highly anticipated device. They're both kind of the same. They both offer charging solutions and storage solutions for the Apple Watch. And we'll start with Watch Keeper from Proper. Now, this is an Aussie company, Studio Proper down in Melbourne. Shout out to those guys. They make some great products. Proper has released, well, this was to me, I think, the first third-party accessory that I saw. This is a case that can store and charge the Apple Watch, which when you think about it, when Tim Cook got up, he stood up and said, look, it's going to have an all-day battery. It's going to last 18 hours. So it's a sort of product that's going to need to be charged every night. So when you go to bed, charge it. When you wake up, take it off and wear it. Same, and then repeat after each day. So I think the manufacturers, the accessory manufacturers have jumped all over this, and Proper has come up with the Watch Keeper. Now, it's a stylish-looking case. It's available in a couple of different colors. I think it's in dark and tan. And what it has, it actually takes the charging plate that you get with Apple Watch and allows you to feed it into the case itself so that when you're actually resting the watch in its case, the charging plate, the magnetic charging plate that comes with Apple Watch is resting in that position. So you can actually slot it in place. It clicks in place so that the watch is held in place magnetically and also being charged at the same time through the USB cable that can be fed then out into your power source. That is from Proper. That's going to be priced at $59.95. It'll be available in May. That's a great Aussie product to support. Now, the other accessory is a similar device. It's also a charger, but it's a charging stand. This is called Watch Stand from very popular tech company Griffin, who make lots of accessories, cases and various things like that. The Griffin Watch Stand is just that. It's a pedestal that allows you to position the Apple Watch at an angle, so you can position it sideways or horizontally or vertically, so you can still read the screen, see what's on the screen. And it too then takes the charging plate, the magnetic plate you do get with the Apple Watch, and allows you to feed it up through the pedestal, through the pole, and it then forms the magnetic plate that the Apple Watch will rest on. At the bottom of the base, on the pedestal, there's a small lip so that you can actually rest your, it becomes a viewing stand then for your iPhone. It doesn't charge your iPhone, but you can maybe run a cable towards it from a PowerPoint and maybe make it a dual charging stand, but you won't be able to feed the cable up into the device like you can with the Apple Watch charger. This Griffin Watch Stand is going to be available from mid-year. It's going to be priced about $50 Australian. It was quoted as US 30 US dollars. The way our dollar's going, it's probably going to end up about $50 when it is announced, when it is launched in mid-year. And I'm sure, of course, Griffin will announce the official pricing closer to that launch date. But the Apple Watch, as a reminder to those who missed the news last week, will be released on April the 24th. That's about 5 weeks away now. So countdown has begun. You can pre-order them from April the 10th. So once you get the watch on your wrists, there'll be a couple of accessories you better buy soon after that. You want to check those out? You can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Couple of quick questions to get through on the Tech Guide Help Desk. The first is from our reader, Marion Thompson. She said she purchased an LG DVD/VCR player combo, and that allows her then to transfer her old VCRs to DVD. Very clever move, Marion. But her problem is that she's done a couple and given them to her daughter, and they won't play in her DVD player. She tried it on another TV, and they wouldn't play there either. It sounds to me that she's not recording in the right format. There is DVD minus R, DVD plus R. You should check the format that will work on your television, check the format that will work on your computer, and stick to that recording. I think if from memory it's minus R would be the more optimal, more commonly used format. So give that a go, Marion. Our next question is in relation to drivers. And I'm not talking about the people that sit in the behind the wheel of a car. We're talking about drivers for different programs on your computer. This is a question from Cliff Inglis. who has emailed us and said that he's got a pop-up that says he's got 27 drivers out of date. Well, he's obviously using a Windows PC. Drivers are those little programs, those mini programs that run various applications, or actually software that runs extensions like printers. Like, you know, you install a printer, you need to have the latest driver. So there may be peripherals and other apps and applications that need updates. He's asking, could you advise if it's safe to proceed with updating these drivers? Of course it is. It's part of the system update. So let your computer update itself the next time you turn it on, or sometimes I think it does an update when it's about to be turned off. Updating software, whether it's firmware, drivers, your internet security software, is very important, especially on the internet security side. It may be annoying. There has to be a couple of minutes to take to update the latest version of your internet security software, but it does that for a reason. You need to update it to the very latest version, because it's a constant battle with cyber criminals and hackers who are constantly trying to get around the system. They're trying to find the loopholes in the code and trying to get around it, trying to get at your stuff, trying to get your identity, your money. So it is very important that you do update, though, that internet security software, update your drivers, make everything the latest version it can be, because it'll run better. It may even run more efficiently, save your laptop battery or your phone battery. Any kind of update, whether it's an app, a driver, or anything like that, Take the time to do it. It's going to be worth it in the long run. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for another week. You can read everything we've talked about here on the Tech Guide podcast at our website, techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch with us, we loved hearing from our readers and our listeners, info@techguide.com.au. Alternatively, you can use the VoiceByte app. Now, full disclosure, I'm the co-developer of the VoiceByte app. It is a social audio microphone. This app is available on Android and on iOS, allows you to record 15 seconds of audio and share it to Facebook, to Twitter, privately. And you can, if you want to, record your question using the VoiceByte app, #TechGuide in the clip title, and we will play your question right here on the Tech Guide podcast. So if you you want to get in touch, you want to hear your voice on the Tech Guide podcast, that's the way to do it. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, you know the answer, it's Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been great having you with us once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.